This is Jason Hollerin. I proudly served for 33 years, culminating as the Deputy Commandant at West Point. Put this on your calendar. World War II weekend inside Old Bethpage Village Restoration on Long Island. Scores of operational vintage armor, in formation, May 18th and 19th. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman invites you to join him in saluting America's greatest generation and all those who have worn the uniform in defense of our freedoms. That's May 18th and 19th, presented by the Museum of American Armor.
We bring in the great Steve Forbes, dear friend. He is chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, and his most recent book is called Inflation: What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It. Welcome back, Steve Forbes. Steve, I want
to
talk
to you.
Yeah, I want to start off with this bizarre story. Our friend Kevin Hassett pointed it out. The Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, is saying that under current services and current law, the Biden baseline, the next three decades, would take federal debt, which is now about 100% of GDP, and would double it to 200% of GDP. 200% of GDP, okay? I think in World War II at the end it was about 140% of GDP, something like that. Anyway, I was just wondering what you thought about that. Is the Federal Reserve, would the Fed monetize all that debt and create gigantic inflation? Would we default on our bonds? Would interest rates soar? Would gold prices soar? In fact, let me add, gold, I'm looking at gold, Steve. It got as low as about $1,650 towards the end of last year, and now it's back flirting with $2,000. It's $1,963 or $1,966. But what happens to 200% of GDP? I can't get my brain to wrap around that.
Well, it's not going to happen because you're going to have a crisis even before that. To get that kind of debt out there, that's going to depress the economy, which means revenues are going to be a disappointment. As you know, revenues this year are coming in below expectation, which is why Biden posturing a year ago as the deficit fighter is now a laughable joke. And so it's going to be worse than that. And the big question you asked there was, would the Fed monetize it? When you get to a crisis point where you have to rely on a central bank to buy your bonds instead of a free market, then you've got a crisis where the government becomes more dependent, as we see in places like Argentina, on the French central bank printing the money. That's how you get hyperinflation. So the key thing is, how much debt can this government keep putting out there with a sluggish economy, stagnant economy with European-style growth rates, and the markets are going to say, we're not going to buy your bonds. Even if you raise the interest rates, we're just not going to buy as many of them. We got a little bit of a flavor of that. You referred to it earlier, what happened in 2021 when the Federal Reserve monetized much of the deficit spending from Joe Biden, continuing spending long after the pandemic crisis. The worst of it was over. So we're not even going to get to 30 years and 200%. We're going to have a crisis well before that if we continue on the current path.
You know, I can just see, okay, in the next few years, with the deficit continuing to rise, I can just see, of course, Democrats for sure, but even moderate Republican, Rhino Republicans saying, well, we have to make a deal and maybe we'll trim some spending. But isn't it time, Steve Forbes, to raise taxes so we can get more revenues? I can just see that. So what would happen if we raise taxes to fight the deficit?
Well, we know from history what happens. That is, you depress the economy. And it's so amazing, after 4,000 years of history, where we see time and time again, states, entities that have low tax rates, stable money, do far better, grow more, have a more prosperous economy than those that don't. Remember, back in the late, we were alive to experience it firsthand, back in the late 70s, early 80s. There was talk of a grand bargain, grand deal of reducing the deficit, fighting inflation by depressing the economy, raising taxes and all that kind of thing. And Reagan went in the opposite direction. That 30% tax cut that he proposed, that Jack Kemp had originally put on the table, our great late congressman, that was not popular. The Republican Party finally came around to it, but the head of the Republican senator said it's a riverboat gamble. Mm-hmm. And but Reagan pushed it through, and we got the great 80s and 90s. And so the lesson is very clear. And I'm waiting for this debate next month with the Republican candidates and subsequent debates to see who's going to put on the table real Reagan-esque proposals of radical tax cuts, stable dollar, getting away with regulation. And then what people need are examples, like this idiot thing of New York becoming, you know, New York is now being known as the Falling Tower of Pizzas. Because they want to ban coal-fired and wood-fired pizzas, Falling Tower of Pizzas, New York, and make fun of this kind of crazy. And people respond. They know it's idiocy. Air conditioners that don't work. Oh, that way people won't move to Florida and Texas. You know?
I mean, it'll be interesting. This is Falling Tower of Pizza. It's very good, Steve. People have got – these candidates have got to remember the Laffer curve. I mean, I would argue if you reduce tax rates or at least make the Trump tax cuts permanent but keep tax rates as low as possible, that's the part of the solution. High taxes will destroy the economy, right? Revenues will collapse. The deficit will be even worse. The other side of the coin, Steve, is we're spending about 25% of GDP, which is very high. Historically, we spend about 20, maybe 21. We got to get that back to 20% or 18, 17 or 18%. I mean, when you ran for president, you wanted a low, flat tax rate and a simple tax code. That's the argument that should be made. And then we've got to make the dollar as good as gold. Now, we'll see if any of these candidates do that.
You're right, and that's what the big fight in there among Republicans is. What we used to call them eyeshade Republicans. Nobody knows what eyeshades are anymore. But the root canal without anesthesia Republicans versus those who see what happens when you have a vibrant, growing economy, inventing things, developing things we couldn't even conceive of. You know, that's what happened in the early 1920s when we had a terrible inflation, Great Depression, completely forgotten. And so you had a huge rise in the standard of living. Instead of outhouses, people had indoor plumbing and wanted electricity and wonderful things like that. So there are a lot of things in the offing that the Republicans should say in the offing, especially on the health care side, that's going to make your life dramatically better. But we need a vibrant, open economy and an environment where these people, the entrepreneurs and others, can go out and do these great things. If they fail, that's too bad for them. But if they succeed, all of us have a better life.
But we got to give them the incentives. It's got to pay after tax to take these risks.
You bet. Reduce the price on doing good things. Mm. Reduce the burden.
Yeah.
How far are you going to run when you have 20-pound weights on your ankles? Take the weights off, and you'll see this economy really sprint.
Mm-hmm. No, it's there's two, you know, diametrically opposed approaches, and you're exactly right. We have to see what these candidates are going to say. You know, Steve, let me just come back to the price of gold, because I was looking at the chart this morning. It got down towards 1600 toward the end of last year. The Fed was tightening and tightening and tightening. Now it's back to close to 2000. Is gold suggesting that, you know, these better inflation numbers are not permanent, that we haven't whipped inflation yet?
I think they suggest real concerns about where this economy is going, even before the financial markets wake up to it, the importance of next year's elections. And we saw from the 1970s where the Fed would engineer a severe recession. Back in 1974, well before Volcker and Reagan came along, we had a severe recession, highest unemployment since the Great Depression. Well, we had the Nixon being run out of town, political crisis, foreign policy crisis, and the CPI, Consumer Price Index, came down. And then what happened was they undermined the integrity of the dollar again, put in anti-growth policies, and we are right back in the even in the worst situation. So what I worry about the Fed is they don't know what inflation is, which is undermining the integrity of the dollar. And two, they figure you fight it by making people poorer. So that's why whenever you get bad economic numbers, the markets say, aha, maybe that'll have them take the boot off of our necks and we can grow again. But if we start to grow again, then you're going to hear the old stories. Oh, well, the economy is overheating. And I ask you, and we've talked about this before, how many people at night when their pay goes up in real terms start to get the sweats? Oh, I'm overheating. Take it away. It's so preposterous.
I agree with that. I mean, it's just the wrong policy. What's the Steve Forbes economic outlook these days? We haven't reached the recession point yet. We're kind of running around 2% in the second quarter that just ended. One thing I was talking about on the show last night, the index of leading indicators, Steve, coming out of the conference board, has fallen 15 straight months. And the conference board is saying that they now expect a recession to begin in the third quarter, the quarter we're in right now, and go on into next year. Who knows? Nobody's got a perfect crystal ball. But what are you thinking?
Well, I don't know when the economic theologians are going to declare a recession or whatever they want to call it. But most people, it's what we're experiencing and will be experiencing more because of these anti-growth policies, is the economic equivalent of walking pneumonia. Perhaps not enough to put you in bed, but you sure feel punk about it. And what you also see are millions of Americans getting behind the eight ball, falling behind financially. Some people are doing very well, but if you look at credit card debt, record high, mortgage rates, adjustable rates, that's being hitting homeowners, and it's going to be hitting businesses, especially in commercial real estate. So there's some very real headwinds coming up. So whatever numbers they want to conjure up, all I know is we have a punk economy. People are going to feel they're falling behind rather than moving ahead. And why Joe Biden wants to boast about that, I think that's one reason why he's not going to be the candidate in 2024. Talk about not being tethered to reality. Oy.
Yeah, well, so 1 to 2% is nothing to write home about. I mean, that's an
important
point.
It's Europe and stagnation. That's what it is.
I mean, you really, you know, given the sluggish growth of recent years, we really should be aiming for 4, 5, 6%, it seems to me.
Absolutely, and we're capable of doing it. And it comes from not just making more things of the same, but from great new things. George Gilder discusses in his book a product called graphene, and it's a kind of a carbon thing. It's 200 times the strength of steel, has the conductivity of, I think, several thousand times that of copper. One of the most fantastic things ever found. The problem is creating it is highly expensive. Well, now there have been breakthroughs coming with that out of Rice University and elsewhere. 18 companies are now finding ways to use this thing that no one's heard of, most of them Israeli. That should be here, not in Israel. We should both be doing it. So, but these great things are out there in the offing, in the brewing, just like back in the 1970s. You had Apple coming out of nowhere. You have FedEx. You had all these great new companies that no one had heard of. They're in the incubation stage in the 70s, and we've been benefiting from them ever since. We got to get that incubation going good today.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen New Bridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen New Bridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment, or newbridgehealth.org.
All right, terrific stuff. Steve Forbes, chairman and editor-in-chief of Forbes Media, and the author of his latest book, Inflation, What It Is, Why It's Bad, and How to Fix It. Many thanks.